Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I am one of your hosts, DJ Culp, as always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. Brad, what's up, man?
Sitting here drinking coffee and enjoying the fact that the kids and Tabby went back to school today. love having them at home, but throws off my routine.
It does. So, Shara and the kids are actually at home again. I'm at work. This is the first place that I've ever worked that has a, this is the first institution of higher education that I've ever worked that has a delayed policy. I don't know about you, but like if there was snow or whatever, but they still wanted to have class, like at Murray State, we were just told classes will begin at 10. So if you had an 8 a.m., you didn't have to go. So I had to come into work, but classes were a bit shorter today. We've got some snow. We've got a lot more ice than I was expecting. What about you guys?
We're pretty much clearing back up, I think. Roads and stuff are getting cleared. I mean, it's cold, but we got some snow, but I feel like it's not as much as we've gotten in the past, and I feel like the sun's starting to get rid of it. I don't even know what the temperature is like outside right now. I haven't stepped outside.
Dude, it's nippy. I like
it. But just looking out, looks like life is going on.
Yeah, life is going on. So listeners, Brad and I are recording this on February 20. So several days ago, Brad and Tabitha and the kids, as mentioned last week, that they had come over and we got to spend time with them. Brad, I had a blast, man. I really did. It was so good to hang out with you guys, and nobody was ill.
Yeah,
nobody was sick.
It was nice. We all had a good time.
So, listeners, what I'll do is I'll post some pictures of me and Brad and Dad playing Rail Baron. John Rear, you'll appreciate that. So we didn't actually get to finish our game just because we started at like 4, and when 9 o'clock rolled around, we were still playing and. We just kind of had to go, but Brad won. Congratulations, Brad.
That's right. By default.
By default,
because I was ahead, monetarily ahead.
That's right.
It's a bittersweet win. I will still accept it.
Yeah, but did you really win?
But I didn't. I don't feel as much like I earned it. Like playing out the rest of how the game was going to go. I'm like.
Right. Yeah, I have a suspicion I was going to win that one. But I guess we'll never know, will we?
There's some big, big issues that I have potentially in the future.
So before we dive into our topic, per the norm, we just simply want to give a shout out to the Green Frog Coffee Company here in Jackson, Tennessee. There's actually a Green Frog in Dyersburg, and I want to say one more, and I can't remember where it is, but I know that they've got several locations. If you are in the West Tennessee area, we strongly encourage you guys to check out Green Frog. They've come alongside us and we them, and we've got just a wonderful little kind of mutual relationship going on that has nothing to do with dollars. Mm-hmm. they want to support our show and what we do. They love what we do, and super friendly. Brad, I have been told actually by one of their managers that that we're a part of their family. He actually used your family here. So They seriously love the show, and we love them. So we thank you, Green Frog Coffee Company, for promoting our show and supporting us and our mission, what we want to do, and we're here to support you as well.
Well, and I can now say that I have drank some Green Frog coffee and it was really good. Matter of fact, I could say that for probably most of our listeners, I've drank about a week's worth of Green Frog coffee because we just continued to brew pots at your house.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yeah, we brewed a lot of
And
coffee.
I drank a lot of coffee, probably more than most people do. I saw a video yesterday, or this college professor was asking the people that came to his class, "Do you drink coffee? Do you drink coffee?" And the people that did drink coffee and were ones that were like, well, he was like, "Well, how much coffee do you drink?" And they're like, "You know, like one, maybe two cups a day." And that was like everybody. It was like 1 to 2 cups that did drink coffee. And I'm like, "Oh, those are rookie numbers. You guys got to get those up.
It's cute.
Where's my coffee
That's so
drinkers?"
sweet. So anyways, check out Green Frog. They are a great small business again here local to the West Tennessee area. They've got great values built on Christian principles, and they really do have coffee so good that a snowman would drink it. Assuming that snowmen would drink coffee. And we're not going to unpack that metaphor because that would be silly. Okay, so Brad, let's dive into our topic, man. So listeners, just kind of prep as to where this came from. One Sunday, we were sitting in church, and a very common narrative, I assume, Brad, that you grew up with as well, but a very common narrative that I heard that I've grown up with, is that Satan desires to seek, steal, and destroy.
He'll still
And
destroy.
kill and destroy. Thank you. What did I say?
Seek, steal, and destroy. But he's it's ki
He's,
ki kill,
sorry.
steal, and destroy.
Kill, steal, destroy. Lots of.
Kill,
Yeah, kill.
steal,
So
destroy.
he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't know why I can't get those verbs right. But anyways, the common narrative is not just that, but the common narrative that I've heard oftentimes is that he does so to the family unit. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy the family. And let me do this. Like before we just really kind of launch into scripture and whatnot, I just want to know, Brad, from your perspective, is that a common narrative that you've heard coming up through church?
I mean, certainly a common narrative. I think it's scriptural when you're looking at the passage. I think Jesus is comparing himself and Satan, or again, the godly versus ungodly.
Ungodly, yeah, right.
And again, deeper than just the family, I think it is anything that is godly. And the life that God lives us, or lives us, gives us, Satan is trying to steal and kill and destroy, whether it be joy, whether it be goodness, whether it be life. That's his mission. So yeah, heard that, preached it.
So and the re like what brought it up was I got to thinking, and listeners, if you're regulars of the show, you'll know that this is very much kind of in line with my MO. But I got to thinking, does Satan seek to steal, kill, and destroy the family unit? And if the answer to that is yes, how? Not to necessarily say that, because it would be false for me to say that I haven't experienced anything like that. But it's, I didn't want to, Brad, I didn't want to kind of walk into this topic that assuming that it's just an obvious answer, yes, he does, and then just kind of move on from there. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, we're done.
He does. So, the scripture reference that steal, kill, and destroy comes from.
I mean, he's seeking
He
those whom
does
he can
seek. I mean, it's
devour,
true, right?
yeah,
Yeah. Yeah,
like a
that's the
roaring
second.
lion.
And that's the second reference. But it comes from John 10:10. So rather than just reading that, I'm going to do John 10 through, sorry, John 10:7 through 21 to give us some context. Says, so Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, the hired hand sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters the flock. He flees because he is a hired hand and does not care about his sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it back. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back. This commandment I received from my Father." And then, sort of like coming back into John's sort of narrator voice, dissension occurred again among the Jews because of these words. Many of the Jews were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who is demon-possessed. The demon cannot open the eyes of those who are blind, can it?" And real quick, I just want to mention the reason that I went like farther beyond verse 10 is I love hearing like sort of in a more full context, like where a scripture verse might be oriented. Yeah, let me go ahead and do this as well, since we're just kind of diving into the scriptures here. Let's go 1 Peter chapter 5. Here we go. 1 through 11 says this: "Therefore, I urge elders among you as your fellow elder and as and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and one who is also a fellow partaker of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not with greed, but with eagerness, nor yet as domineering over those assigned to your care, but by providing to be, or excuse me, but by proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears," capital letters, obviously referring to Christ, "you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, having cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares about you." Verse 8. This is the sort of the main thesis that we want to kind of focus in on. "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brothers and sisters who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." And if you're a musical nerd, you can also say 4-1 or plagal cadence. There we go. All right. So you're
A
welcome,
music
Brad.
nerd.
That's right. Yeah, Brad, I'm just kind of curious as to, where I kind of where to start here with the Satan seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. I guess how have you either experienced it? How do you preach about it? Discussing how Satan does that to the family unit.
Okay, so let's think of Ephesians, right?
Okay.
It's the full armor of God. What do we have in there? Right? We have truth. We have faith. We have salvation.
All right, hang on. Let me see. Let me run a little test on myself here. Okay, belt of truth, right? Shield of faith. Is it helmets of salvation? Is that right?
Helmet of salvation.
Okay, what's the next one?
Well, we have got them out of order already, but
Okay, that's fine. Well, give me the next, give me the
breastplate,
righteousness, right?
right? So, having your
Feet shod.
feet shod, yeah, with the
Is it
preparation,
peace, right?
the
Is
gospel of peace.
gospel of peace, okay.
Yeah, preparation of the gospel of peace
Right.
and the sword.
Sword of the sword, no. Is it sword of the spirit?
Yeah,
Yeah, okay.
which is the word of God.
Word of God.
So truth, righteousness,
Right.
faith, the peace, the gospel, salvation, and the word of God.
Right. And don't
So,
forget to gird your loins.
well, with truth.
Gird your loins with truth. That's right.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So these are the things that God gives us as his armor that are for us to defend and to stand firm against Satan, who's trying to steal and kill and destroy.
Right.
These are also the things that Satan, I think, is trying to, or the things that he uses as his methods to steal and kill and destroy. Right? Because go back to the garden. Satan is skewing truth. Right? So
Right.
he's lying.
Yeah.
But Satan's lies are believable because he's good at lying. My dad would say he would send, like, Satan will use an ocean of truth to send across a little lie. He's challenging God's truth. He's trying to steal that we're standing on that truth, or steal what the truth is and change it. That's so steal, kill, destroy. And
Yeah.
if he can do that, faith, right? Do we believe God? I skipped righteousness, but
Yeah,
faith,
right.
do the shield of faith. Do we believe God? Do we stand on God? Satan loves to say, did God say that? Or it has been written, and I'm skipping up to word, right? Because Jesus, when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, what's Satan do? He skews the word of God.
Right, yeah.
He's misusing God's word against God's word, which is hilarious. Didn't work out very well for him.
Yeah.
It is written. It is written. Don't quote the deep magic to me, witch. I was there when it was written.
That's
Okay,
exactly right.
Aslan. Righteousness. Right? So we've talked about this in some previous episodes. We need God's righteousness, not self-righteousness, not works righteousness. We're righteous through Christ. The whole idea with the Judaizers in Galatians, and they're trying to get these people to follow the law and be under the law because it's not the true gospel, right? And Paul goes, they need to be accursed. Well, where's that coming from? It's coming from Satan, who wants us to believe a false gospel that kind of sounds like the gospel so that we miss the gospel, so we can steal the true gospel away from us.
Right.
So, again, other religions, well, they're counterfeits. They have some similarities because people will compare
Yeah.
Christianity with these other religions. Okay, well, so Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life. If Satan can steal that or kill that or destroy that by making us go, well, there's other ways.
Yeah.
But then people are walking these other paths, maybe even convincing themselves, I'm doing just fine. I'm following God. When in fact, they're not. So salvation right there, the gospel of peace. Satan would have us, I think, believe that we need to be a peacekeeper instead of a peacemaker, which your dad is one of the big people that kind of helped me understand what the difference was. He asked me that one day, and I was like, Because a peacemaker is someone who is working toward peace. Jesus was a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. Because a peacekeeper would not have healed someone on the Sabbath in front of the Pharisees at their party.
Very true.
You know, he wouldn't
Yeah,
have gone
very
in the
true.
temple. A peacekeeper wouldn't have gone into the temple to cleanse it, because that's going to upset some people. But a peacekeeper really is a is a oxymoron, because it's not true peace that they're keeping. It's false peace. It's not peace. What they're trying to do is just keep people from rocking the boat, keep it there from being a stir. So
Right.
it's not true peace, because true peace is only found in God and in Christ. So even those who are being peacekeepers, it's a very shallow, maybe we can put it that way, very shallow peace.
Okay.
So, but if Satan can come in and convince us that that's what we need to do, then he steals true peace, the
Right.
peace that only comes from God and following God. The peace that sometimes causes us to have hard conversations that we don't want to have, because we're pursuing that peace. We want peace. I
Right.
want you to have peace. I want them to have peace. But when that peace is found only in Christ, then I can't accept that it's found somewhere else. You know, and so, but if Satan can steal those things, or kill those things, or destroy those things, or even, you know, try to put a dent in it.
Yeah.
Now, all of those things require, I think that's probably why God starts with truth, right? So gird yourself out with the belt of truth, because truth keeps your pants up, and all the others kind of, I think, build on it, right? You need to know what is true. Fact. What are the facts? And then your faith in the facts, and then the feelings. So truth, and then having Christ righteousness, because we need the truth to do that, and having that faith in the truth, you know, all of those things. And I think with Satan, anytime in any form that those things show up, Satan's going to try to attack them. So the model of marriage, part of marriage is to show us God's love for his church, right? My love for my wife should be a good illustration of how God loves his church.
Yeah.
Now, it's imperfect, but people should look at my marriage and go, that's good.
Right.
And then be able to take the jump and go, oh, well, God uses the illustration of the church as the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
The way that I am a father to my children should be a reflection of God's love, of God's boundaries, of God's discipline, all of those things. So, in the ways that I am a good father, that should be a reflection of the Father God. And again, that's going to be imperfect,
Yeah.
but it can be again, this good picture to say, oh, look, he's a good father. And that should reflect first and foremost to my children, but then to those outside. I need to be approachable by my children. Right? My children should be able to come to me and know that they can come to me and bring it to me. I should be a reflection of God.
Right.
So that they, you know, I hope that my children, when they mess up, go, I got to go tell my dad. Not, oh, poo, I can't tell my dad. Don't let anybody tell my dad. You know what? That's going to kill me.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to know that I'm serious about sin. God's serious about sin. But so Satan is going to do everything that he can to undermine those things. Again, you know, to steal, to take away.
Yeah.
And I take it away. To kill, to slay it. You know, to destroy. It destroys from two words. I just looked this up, by the way. It's
Yeah.
not coming off the top of my head. I don't want anybody to think, wow, man. You know, it comes from two words in the Greek, put together, away and to destroy, or away and to lose. Right? So if he can destroy, it means he can get that away from you, away from the truth, away from its existence,
Yeah.
so that it's lost, so it's destroyed. So, I mean, again, all these things kind of tie in and build on each other, steal, kill, and destroy. So, yeah. So he's going to try to do that to the family. He's going to try to do that to the family unit. He's going to try to do that to anything that God, if he can pervert anything the way that God did. And we see that in our culture. And I know it's maybe an unpopular opinion, but you're like, well, when did God say this? Well, God made male and female, he made them, so that a father or so that the son will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two would become one flesh. This is God's model, that they would be fruitful and multiply, so they would, again, they would reproduce. The next generation have children, and so this is God's model. So anything that we do, or anything that Satan does, that he can do to convince us, oh, that's the wrong model, that's the stupid model, or let's skew that model. Oh yeah, homosexuality is okay because love is love, which is interesting because a lot of times I think people don't even understand what love is. Just a lot of people that I talk about. They want to define love by a feeling and emotion. You're like, oh, well, we were in love and then I fell out of love. Then I'm like, I don't think you understand what love is. That's not the way love works. Love's not an emotion, love's not a feeling.
As Sinbad would joke, you ain't love, you in heat.
Right. And I think that's what we equate a lot of times love with is, oh, this person makes me feel good. This person. And again, so 1 Corinthians 13. The love chapter. Anyway, but anytime that Satan can start to redefine those definitions, what is he doing? He's skewing. He's stealing. He's killing and destroying the truth, or these things. So yeah, I mean he's going to be, or he's doing that all the time. He's trying to do that all the time, and we have to guard against that. And how do we do? Well, we got to go back to the armor of God and go back to God's truth. Not your truth, not my truth, not what I believe or you believe or Sam believes or anybody else, but what has God said is true. And then kind of build from there.
And something that I remember you saying, because like it's always been there clearly, and I've known it. Excuse me, but when we look at James, I think it's James 1:8 that says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you back up a verse, it says, submit to God.
Draw near to God,
Draw near to God
and
and
he
he will
will
draw
draw
near
near
to
to
you.
you.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Hopefully.
So we've
Well, he will
got,
flee.
he will flee. Sorry, that's
Yeah,
right.
not from you. He will
Yeah,
flee.
he will flee. So draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And then resist the devil. In 1 Peter 5:11, it says, not 5:11, excuse me, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But if you back up a verse, or sorry, if you back up two verses, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you at the proper time, having cast all your anxiety on him because he cares about you. And then be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Like I don't see that. I don't see those verses as being isolated, but rather, sort of a, direct correlation and if then statement.
Well, and let's go back to the kill, steal, and destroy,
Well, now
right?
actually I was about to, and it
Yeah, because
says,
let's read the rest of the verse there.
well, it says, so verse 10, which is the steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus bookends it. So in verse 9, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Semicolon. Thank you very much, Jesus, for using semicolon. I came so that they would have life and have it more abundantly. Or have it abundantly, excuse me, maybe not more abundantly. I didn't mean to add that word there. But yeah, so I mean, all of those are nestled in the idea that the only way that we as Christians can really combat Satan and his wiles is under the submission of God.
Right, because God gives life. So Satan's trying to take it. He's trying to kill it, steal it, and destroy it.
Okay.
But God gives it
All right.
and abundantly.
I wanna press pause right here because I think this is something that, again, I don't know how to word this politely, that I think far too often in a church setting, we focus more on these big ideas, the broad, like we paint with a broad brush. I'm not saying you do this, Brad, but we paint with a broad brush. For instance, God gives life. Satan's trying to steal it. I think far too often in a church, either in a church setting or a church conversational setting, we think about the word life as meaning like to live or not to live, which I definitely agree that that's part of the definition, but I also see life in the little bitty moments. So God gives life, and when like where God gives life is everywhere and in every moment. And Satan, from that perspective, is also trying to take away those little moments. It's not like it to me, Brad. And again, maybe I'm being too elementary about this, but like when you say, God gives life and Satan's trying to take that away, what my where seriously where my brain first goes is that big picture idea, which to me completely glosses over the day to day. Does that make
So
sense?
the word life, zo or zoe,
Yeah.
however you want to pronounce it,
Zoe, Brad. It's Zoe.
is both a physical and spiritual existence.
Okay.
So if I would understand that right, it refers to life in its fullest sense, encompassing both physical and spiritual dimensions. So our physical life now, our eternal life now, and every other thing that life encompasses. So from cellular biology to the universe
Yeah, that's exactly right.
that God gives life and is giving life and it's abundant, and that Satan is seeking to destroy those that you know. And so yes. Now here's one of the things I want to point out. It's kind of a little corner, but I think it's important, especially when we go on. Okay, since we talked about the family and we've talked about homosexuality and all that stuff, what we have to be careful about as the church is because Satan is very clever. And if he can't get us on one side, he'll run over to the other side and pull us the other direction.
And this is another common
Right.
narrative that I've heard very, very often. Go ahead, man.
Well, so in the sense, so when we say God says homosexuality is sin, that's not his model for marriage. That's not his model. It's wrong. So one of the things that we can, if we're not careful, is we rely on our flesh, and then we want to come out very aggressively and very angrily against the other side. When God warns us in James that the anger of man does not bring about God's righteousness,
Yeah.
right? So we need to be sharing the truth in grace and love. We need to be seeing all the God's created people as bearing the image of God, of people who Christ died for, who are no greater sinners than we were. Who or in one sense outside of Christ are, right? And so need the same salvation that we need. But if we're not careful, we will fall into Satan's plan of destruction, thinking that we're doing God's will. And God says that there will be those, and he's telling the apostles and disciples, there'll be those who what will take you and cast you out, thinking they're doing God's service. So we have to be careful that we are, again, lovingly sharing the truth, right? That we're standing on God's truth. So we're saying, look, sin is sin. One of the things that we tend not to like, I think, as Christians sometimes, is that gossip and slander and those things are listed right up there with homosexuality and murder.
Yep. Yeah, it's
But
a
we're a lot more okay with gossip, especially if we can turn it as a prayer request. But God puts it on the same plane as those things which we are, you know, again, just so militant. We need to be about sharing the grace and love of Christ. And again, we need to do so in truth and love. We cannot say the things that God has said are wrong are good. Because we look at that back to James, right? We have old school LSD, lust, sin, death. Because lust are desires, which brings about sin, and sin, when it's completed, or what about it brings forth death. So that's Satan's destruction right there, right? Sin, no matter where and how, no matter how small we think it is, there's no greater lie than the fact that there is a little white lie. Like, that's one of the greatest, I think, lies of Satan, is that little white lies exist. There's no such thing. You know, that's like saying, well, we just put a little
Good
bit of
dude.
poison in your water.
Right.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Or Iocane powder.
Yeah. It's tasteless. It's
It's odorless. No, dude, I've never heard anyone say about the little white lie like you just did. Dude, that's pretty profound. And yeah, you're exactly right that like anything that is for God, Satan is trying to do the opposite. And so again, kind of coming back to when I heard that, that Satan is, Satan seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And that he wants to tear apart families. I remember thinking, okay, not that I disagree with it, but how? And here I like Brad, what you're doing, like I'd say this, I've said this before on the show, you're very like you're being very direct in a bunch of different areas. I think the thing that like I would say is sort of monkeying and weaseling. And that is really, really hard to crank up the conversation about is, well, how does he actually do that? Like, how does that play out in marriages? How does that play out in families? And lying is definitely one of them. But like,
Well,
so.
again, so there's lying, right? And they're skewing the truth. So if I'm saying something that is untrue, right? I say something to your sister, who's my wife, and I tell her something that's untrue, and I'm lying to her, right? So I'm lying. But if I'm believing something that's untrue, that's still a lie, but it's not a lie I'm spreading, I'm telling. I'm not
Oh,
being
gotcha.
a
Yeah,
liar, but I'm believing a lie.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I think that's where Satan does, is he loves doubt. He loves to plant these seeds of doubt.
Yeah.
Can I trust my spouse? And then once those seeds are planted, or can I trust my kids, or whatever? And once those seeds are planted, then what tends to grow out of that, if we're not careful, is that suspicion. And then we're going to go, you know, my wife may be going behind my back to buy me a gift that she doesn't want me to know about, right? And she's got my children in there. Hey, we're keeping this secret from dad because we're going to surprise him.
Sure.
But if I've got that seed of doubt planted in me, now I'm going to look at everything they're doing as a deception that is hurtful. Well, they're hiding something from me, and is she having an affair?
It's malicious,
And,
yeah.
you know, and so I think those things is Satan will use really small things. I think we look out for the big things, right? There's a story about this guy who had a vineyard, and these big foxes would come in, and he'd run them out with a stick. Well, one day, these cute little baby foxes came in, and they were adorable, and they were so cute. And so he didn't run them out with a stick. Who can run the baby fox out with a stick? That's just wrong. But then he turned around and realized that they'd ate up his vineyard. See, he didn't see them as the enemy, because they were small, they were cute. It wasn't problematic. Satan, more often than not, I think, uses those things that fly under our radar than the huge things that we're guarding against. Right. We're looking for, we're ready for this full on like army to show up at the gate. We're not looking for the sweet old lady who's bringing in heresy to, or accusing, because that's what Satan does, right? He's accuser of the brethren. So, oh, my friend who so and so who is constantly sowing seeds of doubt about my marriage, about my wife. Well, she did that. She said that, or he did that, or he said that. Oh, that's not loving. And sometimes it's not even that the people are intending to. Let me give you an example that I'll share on your sister, which I think she'd be okay with because it's a learning curve.
She's about to be.
One of her best friends in the world, and they would be talking about things that their husbands do. And Tabby loves her husband. And so I am the model, again, that she tends to look for as, oh, this is, I like when he does this. This is good. Her friend's husband weren't doing those things. So Tabby was unintentionally, though, becoming overly critical of her friend's husband. Because he wasn't me. And at one point, her friend went, I'm not married to your husband. I'm not married to Brad. I don't want to be married to Brad. And you need to stop trying to make my husband your husband, in that sense. And Tabby really needed to hear that because she wasn't acknowledging she was doing that. Right. But Satan will use little things like that. Right. So sometimes the lies come in not from the actual enemy. But from the friends who aren't intending to be an enemy.
And what I want to do, Brad, is seriously just go full circle here, that this is how important the community of Christians is as well. So in all of these, in all of these scriptural cases that we've got in 1 Peter 5 and John 10 and James 1, we've got, again, we've got the beginning of submit to God in some fashion, followed by basically this is how you will defeat the wiles of Satan in whatever context. But beyond that, and when I say beyond that, this is a big beyond that. I think it'd be really easy to create a very, very sexy argument on all I need is Jesus and nothing else, zero. And I would be willing to say there's a very, very large amount of truth in that, but there's also a lie that you're believing in that, which is that you don't need Christ's church. All you need is Jesus. I don't need I that's it. And so to me, the full circle here is the community of followers, a community of faith. How is it that we are actually to continue, or maybe not continue? How are we to deepen, and protect ourselves against the little bitties that you're talking about, these itty bitty seeds? And I would say, Brad, that we submit to God, and we have to do that. And sometimes we're going to be great at it. Sometimes we're going to suck at it. But we need to be a part of the communion of faith to have not just accountability, not just to have, fellow disciplers, but to also have, as you mentioned with Tabitha, somebody to speak into your life to say, whoa, time out. Like you're taking this in a direction that it doesn't really need to go.
So I'm going to agree with you and disagree with you at the same time, right? Because
I'm ready.
all we need is Jesus, right? But what some people want to do is separate Christ's church from Christ. He is the head of the body. So that's like you can't come talk to my head without talking to my body.
Correct.
You can't come be a part of me and divorce part of me. Like it's all or nothing. So Christ is enough, but you can't separate Christ from his church. And again, I look at the model of marriage, right? There's me and my wife. The Bible says that we come together and we become one flesh, right? We're one unit. We're one. You're going to find it very problematic to be my friend and despise my wife.
Right.
I'm just going to tell you right now, that's not going to work.
Yeah, not gonna fly.
Because she is me and I am her. I am in her, she is in me. Like, and again, not in, this is a family show, so we're talking about it in a spiritual sense.
Trying to find my happy place right now, Brett.
So I think that's the thing, is that they're not, like, we're trying to separate two inseparable things, right?
Well,
If God is the head of his church, and again, then the church is the body,
yeah.
you can't do that. Now, again, well, can I be a Christian without going to church? Yes, you can be saved. The thief on the cross never went to church. However, can I be an obedient Christian? No. No.
And
And not go to church.
Brad, I'm thank you for clarifying. I definitely did not mean to convolute the argument, but I think it would be an easy out. And I think that actually, I think that would fall
Yes.
in line with what you're talking about. That's one of these little bitty seeds, and
It is.
it's a sexy one. It looks
Because we want to
like it's healthy.
define that as something it's not.
Right.
And again, that's, again, getting back to Galatians, that's part of where the Judaizers were coming in. They were going, okay, well, you're Christian, well, you got to be circumcised.
Yeah.
Because you gotta follow, you gotta follow the law, you gotta
And
be part of this.
I've
And they were
mentioned that I'm going through Titus. The Cretans did the same thing. Yeah, go ahead.
right. They're adding to the gospel, and it seems like it could see it. It seems like at first, well, it's not a big deal, and that's one of the things. Well, it's not a big deal. Well, but and then Paul comes in and he goes, yeah, no, it, not only is it a big deal,
Right.
you're believing a gospel that's not the gospel.
Yeah.
And then he says twice, and I think I said this to you maybe last episode, like, and anybody who's going to preach gospel that's not the gospel should be cursed. I say again,
Right.
they should be cursed. I mean, this is very strong verbiage, because what seems like a small thing is actually a big thing. Because a lot of times Satan works in those small things to undermine those things. So there's, I mean, again, to me, I think that's the answer that I have for you, is how does
Yeah.
Satan do this? A
Right.
thousand different ways, a
A thousand
million
different
different
ways. It's
ways
exactly right. Yes. Yeah.
with small things, because we're guarding against the big foxes. Gosh. Sometimes I'm too careful, DJ. Sometimes I'm too careful with the words that I say, and I'm afraid. So I'm just going to throw this out there
You throw it,
and.
man.
Right. There have been people who are Christian people whose son or daughter came out as gay, as a homosexual, LGBTQ, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a huge deal. And then they turn around and, okay, now they're in a relationship that is heterosexual, but they're living together, they're sleeping together, having sex, they're
I
doing
know
all this.
exactly where you're
And
going, dude.
then they're happy.
Yep.
They're like, okay, well, at least they're not gay. No, they're just as far away from the truth of Christ. They're just as much struggling with sin. It's just a different sin. But it's a
Yeah.
sin that is more acceptable. It's a sin that's what's it's natural. Well, all sin is natural in the sense of our humanity. All
Yeah.
sin
It's
is
exactly
pulling
right.
us toward our own desires. Right. So sin is there. So let's not go, oh, well, but because for us, what's a lesser sin? It's not. It's just as much against the family. It's just as much attacking the life of God and the truth of God and the life that God wants for the people. And I think we've got to acknowledge that. We've got to acknowledge that going over the circle, and just going to a different sin, which is keeping them equidistant from God. They're just as far away from God as they were before, but we're more okay with it. Or the opposite could be true for some people. Probably not most, but I mean, but
But
again,
still,
the
yeah.
sense, change A and B and use some other sin. And it's just, we've got to acknowledge those things that they're both wrong. They both need repented of. They both need to be, again, called out in grace and love, with grace and love. Because I think that's, to me too, one of the biggest things I think that most Christians that I know struggle with is how do you stand against sin in grace and love? Because we're really good at standing against sin with sin, sinfully. And then I think Satan wins. Because when we brood in our anger, when we're splashing out hatred and all of these things, God says the anger of man does not bring about the righteousness of God, right? Now, he tells us there's things to be angry about, anger and don't sin, but we struggle with the latter part, the sin. So, because when our anger becomes sin or brings us to sin, then we need to turn back to Christ and repent. We need to do that. Okay, redo. Let's try this again because we're not doing it right. Right? Our life as the church to those who are homosexual or those who are liars or drunkards or prostitutes or whatever, drug abusers, gluttonous, whatever sin, our life as the church should show them the love of Christ, right? Come and be healed. Come and have life. Not be, beating people to death.
Well, and what I was going to say, Brad, was, you mentioned the way that if someone's sin and dealing with that brings you to sin, I think when I'm not going to use the word natural because I just don't know the source of it, but it feels natural. It feels like the acceptable opposite to use condemnation as the way to clean it, when in actuality, that's not even up to us. We don't get to do that. Now, I definitely, if we're already off topic, then we're off topic. But like, how does Satan seek to steal, kill, and destroy the family unit? I think that, and you mentioned there's a billion different ways, and I understood that it was going to be a messy topic from the get-go. I knew that, but I don't think that Satan only focuses on the family unit. I think he also focuses on the individual apart from the family, which actually is a is in is in at least in concept. We I don't think we're very good about thinking about this from day to day, but it's also that right there is in concept an exact parallel to saying I can be a Christian and not go to church. You can't separate Christ from his church in the same way that if Satan doesn't just focus on attacking the family unit, but attacking, say, me and Shara or you and Tabitha or whatever the case is, and almost splitting us as individuals dealing with whatever we're dealing with apart from each other, that is the same in concept. And so I've got to teach in 8 minutes, but like I knew that this was going to be a messy topic. So do you have any closing thoughts, Brad? What do you think?
So let me close this thought, which is totally not on par with everything else that we've talked about, but looking at the scripture we're talking about, because it brings us, I think, full circle to something we talked about a few weeks ago. Right? Verse 12. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who's not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. Right? That's one of the reasons why I think it's important that as a pastor, people don't look at it as my job. Because if it's my job, I'm a hired hand. And when the
Oh,
wolf
dude,
comes,
there you go.
when the wolf comes, I need, then I then I'm gonna run because it's just my job. And I'll find another job somewhere else. It's not worth my life. Whereas if it's my calling and I'm part of the family of God and I'm an under shepherd under his care, now it's my family. It's my family. It's my calling. It's not my job. It's my job. I'm gonna run off. So, but again, I think it's a small thing
Yes, dude, I
that if
dig
we're
that.
not careful, that in and of itself may be innocuous, and that's sometimes how Satan works. Like
Yeah.
it's in itself, it's not an issue, but it may grow into something like, oh well, the pastor's just a hired guy. Well, then when the if that's the case, then when the wolves come, better not, run to your pastor because he's just gonna run.
He's gonna run.
Don't
Yeah.
run. Unless you're
Unless
running to Jesus.
you run to Jesus, then you can run.
Always run to Jesus.
Whew.
I know, that was heavy. It's crazy.
That was really heavy. Listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Sorry
Go
that, sorry that,
listen to our game one. That was a lot lighter. If you need
that's a
something
lot
lighter
lighter.
now, go watch an
Yeah.
episode of the Looney Tunes or something. Get this heaviness.
Like, and I will, I hope that, Brad, I hope that this ep came out the same way that last week's ep did, because last week's ep, I thought for sure was gonna, I thought it was gonna be a dumpster fire. And I went back and listened to it and I was like, dude, that came out really well. So I'm hoping that this week's ep does the same thing. But listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you're new to the show, please rate, review, subscribe to the show so that you can get notifications when there's a new show that drops. We will soon, if you're in the West Tennessee, no, not West Tennessee area. If you're a listener to the show, we will very soon, Brad and I will soon have a YouTube channel. We are going to be posting up all of our podcasts, on YouTube so that you can, for, because apparently people like to do this, but you can watch us have a
They want to
conversation.
look at us.
You can look at us. That's right.
We're
Brad,
so
by the way,
pretty.
Brad, today's February 20. Brad is using a brand new webcam, and I will be upgrading mine here extremely soon as well. But yeah, so be on the lookout for that announcement when we've got a YouTube channel. But share our show. Let every people know. Let everybody that you know about this show. And please let us know what your thoughts are. Brad, we've had a wonderful response in the last several weeks about video games and last week's episode, which was, who's somebody that has been central to the spiritual maturity. Like, this is really cool that the audience is, our audience is starting to engage with this. It's really fun. Yeah, let us know what your thoughts are. If there are topics that you want us to tackle, we have an email account, menchurchstuff@gmail.com. I'm going to guess, Brad, that by the summer, I think by the summer, it's sort of a soft goal for me that we can at least have a website up. But no, the YouTube channel is certainly going to happen before the summer for sure. And if you are in the West Tennessee area, then be also on the lookout for our YouTube shows to be played at the Green Frog coffee locations. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening, and yeah, come back for next week for our another show. Beyond that, Brad, I love you, buddy.
Love you too.
Listeners, we love you. We will catch you next time.
Yeah.